Andy and Anna here from your new favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two of the four hosts of the podcast that stuffs fascinating, amazing, weird, mad facts into your ears on a weekly basis. You got any good facts, Andy?
Yes, how about this one? Anteaters have evolved on 12 separate occasions.
Wow.
Mysterious. Wonderful.
The world really wants them to exist. What about this one? When Ronald Reagan left office, he left a note on the White House lawn for the squirrels, warning them to beware of George Bush's dogs.
So there you go. If you like fascinating facts and much more besides, we are No Such Thing as a Fish.
John Perlman on 702. 3 to 6 p.m.
To the United States we go, where there's all sorts of interesting things happening. They've begun with their vaccine rollout today, and certainly dramatic scenes of airplanes waiting. And the Pfizer headquarters, I think, are near a town called Kalamazoo in Michigan, which is one of the Midwest states. But it's also the moment where the Electoral College gathers. I don't think it will be a physical gathering, if indeed it ever was. And they finally confirm what most people would say, the numbers say, that Joe Biden is the next president of the United States. Of course, these things are never quite that simple, but here's a man who can certainly make them plain. Simon Marks joins us, our correspondent on the line from Washington, D.C. Simon, welcome. Thanks for your time. Is this Electoral College thing a formality, or does this 2020 election appetite for drama need at least one more meal?
Well, I think there is still the opportunity for more drama, although it doesn't come today, John.
Okay.
The Electoral College, you are right, is meeting. It's not a formal meeting in the sense of everybody getting together in a room. This is happening in each of America's 50 states, plus the District of Columbia and Puerto Rico. Some of the individual state meetings are taking place virtually. Some of them are taking place in, where everybody's sitting around a table in a room. Between now and later on this evening here, all those 50 meetings will have concluded, and we think it's highly likely. It would be an enormous surprise if anything happened to deny Joe Biden the formal nod from the Electoral College today. But it's the next act where things could get interesting, because believe it or not, this election doesn't officially end until January the 6th, when it will call to Vice President Mike Pence to oversee a session of Congress, at which traditionally Congress simply rubber stamps the Electoral College decision. There are some Republicans in Congress threatening to try and disrupt those proceedings on January the 6th in a bid to register their opposition to Joe Biden becoming the president-elect. Let's see if they still feel that way by the time dawn rolls around on January the 6th itself.
So, Simon, just to make it plain, Congress would be both the Senate and the House controlled by Democrats,
yes.
The Senate controlled by Republicans. Is there a voting process there? I mean, could there be any kind of deadlock based on the fact that you have two different parties controlling two different arms of government?
Yeah, that there is a voting process, absolutely. And I think one of the questions that we're all facing is, given that 126 members of the Republican Party in the House of Representatives backed President Donald Trump's entirely futile attempt to get the Supreme Court to overturn the outcome of the election, are those men and women still going to take that view by the time the Electoral College has finalized these election results, certified them, and sent their physical certificates? Each state sends six certificates, believe it or not, in the post to Washington, D.C., where the Senate and the House of Representatives then have to approve them. I mean, there is the possibility of some upheaval there, but I think still very likely that by the time this is all over, Joe Biden absolutely will be on track to be sworn in as president on January the 20th.
I suppose the longer-term consequences are the fuel to a building fire in at least a sizable chunk of America that this was all unfair. Simon, let's move to something else. Vaccine Day in the United States. Some of the coverage I've watched, which was on CNN, was almost we have tears in our eyes. This is an incredibly important and emotional moment. In terms of the impact, though, on the trajectory of the pandemic in, you know, perhaps the world's hardest hit country, is there an expectation that this makes a difference anytime soon, or is this just the start?
Yeah, no, this is very much just the start. I mean, I don't think you could find America being more on brand in 2020 than the country celebrating the first vaccinations. A nurse in Long Island was the first woman, we believe, the first person we believe to be vaccinated over the last few hours. But later today, the death toll in the United States is going to rise above 300,000, with every indication that between now and 60 days from now, on a daily basis, more than 3,000 people are going to die here every day of COVID-19. Those are the projections from public health officials who say, of course, it's very important to welcome the vaccines and encourage people to take them, because in New York itself, Governor Cuomo says 50% of the population is hesitant to go anywhere near the vaccine, and that's New York.
Right.
But equally, this news today is being balanced by that rising death toll.
And just another story, I don't know if you're able to shed any light. We've had a couple of people on this side throwing in some thoughts. Google going down for a period of time, a mere blip, or does it raise questions about something that might be more serious?
Well, I think it does. It's probably more the latter than the former. Google is being pretty tight-lipped about what happened here and around the world, but for 30 minutes, Google's platforms, its various applications, Google Documents, even some of its associated applications like Nest, which is its big security camera system, YouTube, they all went down completely. It did take the company about half an hour to bring the services back up. We don't know what caused this. They haven't yet put out any kind of an explanation, but certainly attention is being drawn to the fact that over the weekend, the Treasury Department here of the U.S. government and the Commerce Department both came under a very substantial cyber attack by a foreign actor, as yet unidentified. Some reports here suggest Russian, and it was sufficiently serious that the National Security Council was hastily convened to have a meeting about it at the White House. Whether that is in any way connected to this Google outage today, we do not yet know, but certainly the timing seems somewhat curious.
And Simon, does that play at all into the conversations around the heavily monopolistic nature of the big companies? I think they're referred to as FANG generically. Would Google find themselves someday in Congress or somewhere else having to bat this off as evidence against why they evidence as to why they should be broken up?
Well, I think it certainly reminded a lot of people around the world, and definitely here in Washington, just how reliant millions and millions of people are on Google services. I mean, you can see people on social media saying, I use Google Nest to turn my lights on and to turn my lights off, and I'm sitting in a darkened room with my three-year-old because I no longer have any ability to turn them on if there's no Google. I mean, that has an impact on people, and there's going to be political fallout from that, I'm sure.
Thanks very much, Simon Marks, just on the line from Washington, mainly to talk about the Electoral College, which meets today in its various states, a little bit about the vaccines being rolled out in the U.S. for the first time today, and some thoughts on Google. Trust me, I will never, ever rely on Google to turn on my lights. Well, let's talk in a year, but at the moment, it seems like a bad idea to me.
Andy and Anna here from your new favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two of the four hosts of the podcast that stuffs fascinating, amazing, weird, mad facts into your ears on a weekly basis. You got any good facts, Andy?
Yes, how about this one? Anteaters have evolved on 12 separate occasions.
Wow.
Mysterious. Wonderful.
The world really wants them to exist. What about this one? When Ronald Reagan left office, he left a note on the White House lawn for the squirrels, warning them to beware of George Bush's dogs.
So there you go. If you like fascinating facts and much more besides, we are No Such Thing as a Fish.